Can we look at the Bible in the book of Luke 2? Luke 2 from verses 25. Can we please read together? It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." It was revealed to him. Verse 27. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is giving us an account of a man of God called Simeon. Praise the Lord Jesus. And from that account, we can all agree that the man had a relationship with God. Praise the Lord Jesus. God told him that he will not die until he sees the coming of the Savior. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw. When you read that account, you notice that this could have been a prayer, because Israel was in a state of waiting for a Savior. They were in a state of waiting for someone that was kingly, for someone that will come and fight their battles, for someone that will come and bring redemption from whatever it was that they were going through. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Simeon got a glimpse. God spoke to him. But again, for Simeon, God gave him that opportunity. You know, there are men that have communed with God to a certain degree, that there are things when heaven is doing them, it cannot pass them. If it means for God to preserve them to the latter, to the last, God will keep them until they see. Until they see. That is why, for the things that God has spoken to you privately, for those things that God has ministered into your heart, never ever provide room to think that they are far-fetched and they will never be seen. Never allow it. You can imagine if God told Simeon that he was going to see the Christ and he was 95 years, he will as well say, you know what, let me just die. But this scripture here is teaching us the fervency of the prophetic. Did God say he will bring his word to come to pass? Not only the fervency of the prophetic, but this scripture also shows that when God has spoken to you a prophetic word, he will position you. He will make sure that you are rightly positioned in the place where you have to be for its very fulfillment. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, the Spirit came for Simeon and took him to the temple. That very time when he's getting to the temple, the Lord is being brought in. If Simeon had the Lord and said, let me first go and say hi, he would have missed his moment. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is this people. Simeon comes and looks at the Lord and beholds him and carries him in his arms. And I was telling people in the first service, I do not know even how he felt in his heart to know that this is the person the whole world has been waiting for. And now I have him in my hands. Another thing about Simeon was that perception to know that there are many children here, but this is the Savior of the world. These are things that ought to be deeply embedded in our spirit, because amidst us, God is raising mighty men and women of God. You shouldn't be one that waits for someone to demonstrate power for you to say, oh, so and so. But you should have it in your heart, that level of perception, to understand that, no, this one is an elder in the spirit. This one is called this way. This one, I know how to carry myself around them. Because when it comes to the things of the spirit, they are ranked this way. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So Simeon gets a hold of this baby. He's holding this baby in his arms. He is imagining how great things are going to be for the land because the Savior has come. And so was Anna the prophetess. Praise the Lord. These people were there in the temple fasting, giving God prayers, fasting every other time, seeking God, communing with God. The Bible says actually that Anna was in the presence of God in prayers and fastings night and day. And she got the opportunity to behold the Lord. She got the opportunity to see the prophetic come to pass. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you follow through, you see it was the same with the disciples. They were around the Savior. They walked around him. They loved everything around him. They loved being in his presence. At some point, Peter is caught saying, "For where can we go from you? We cannot go anywhere because with you are the words of this life. Where can we go?" Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, at a time when Jesus is transfigured and Peter sees the glory of God, he actually says, "Let's build a home here. Let's stay here." Praise the Lord Jesus. Because to them, apart from the miracles they saw and apart from the things they saw around Christ, there was still something they couldn't see about Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that? When you go to the Bible, there is a place where Jesus is telling them, "To you are revealed the mysteries of the kingdom." Meaning they were moving with him, but there are things they didn't understand. They're like, "What manner of man is this? What exactly is going on?" The Bible says, "He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know." They didn't know. They didn't know the interpretation of the parables. They went to the Lord and said, "What meanest thou this? What are this that you're saying? We don't understand them." And the Lord was there, moving in mighty signs, miracles, and wonders. He did everything that he will do according to his purpose and his mandate. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. But within the people that were Jewish, you must understand, there were also people that were Gentiles. Sometimes what brought that difference, it's because when you read your Bible well, you notice that to the Jew, the Bible says, "Wasn't it unto the Jew that the oracles of God were given?" So they had somehow an upper hand. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And when it was observed, God had a mind, and the mind was hidden. These were just prophecies that were coming through. There were prophecies that were coming through of a particular mystery that was yet to come. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. They were prophecies. They were like, "There's something deeper. Of course, there is this, there is that. Yes, we can see him. Yes, this fulfillment has come forth because we have, but there is something deeper. There's something deeper that we must connect to." Unfortunately, the Bible says it wasn't for them. 1 Peter 1 verse 10. Let me show you something. 1 Peter 1 verse 10. The Bible says, "Of which salvation," can we start from 9? "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls," verse 10, "of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you." Verse 11, "Searching what or what manner of the time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow after." It was not for them. Actually, it interests me when we look at it in the Message version. Let's go to the Message version. Listen to this. It says, "Because you kept on believing, you'll get what you're looking forward to. Total salvation." Verse 10, "The prophets who told us this was coming asked a lot of questions about this gift of life God was preparing." They asked a lot of questions. I believe some of them wanted to know if it was in their place. The Bible says, the Messiah's spirit let them in. He let them in on some of it, that the Messiah will experience suffering, followed by glory. They clamored to know who and when. Verse 12, and all they were told was that they were serving you. That is all they were told. They were told, no, you're serving these people that are coming. There is a secret, but you're serving these ones that are coming. All they were told was that they were serving you. You who by orders from heaven have now heard for yourselves through the Holy Spirit the message of those prophecies done what? Do you realize how fortunate you are? Angels will have given anything to be in on this. My God. Because of what God planned on your life, the Bible says the angels desire to look into this. When you're there and you're opening your Bible and it is your time to commune with God, angels gather because they are like, no, we want to see in this matter. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to get an understanding of this matter. We want to know something in this matter. So one of those days, my father was preaching and he said, the best way to accumulate angels wherever you want them to accumulate, start to speak the word of God wherever you are. Speak it with authority. Speak it with authority. Speak it. Close that door and don't just cry about your problems. Start to speak with authority the word. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Colossians 3 introduces us to this mystery, introduces us to that thing that the hearts were warming up for, that the hearts were crying for. Listen, wherefore I made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, it was hid. They didn't know about it. It was something that was hid. And for as long as it was hid, Christ was around them, but a veiled experience. Christ was with them, but a veiled experience. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, even the mystery which had been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is narrowed to his saints. Now he's made manifest to his saints. Verse 27, let's see. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, why was it a mystery? It is a mystery because when you study the meaning of the word mystery, these are secrets that are kept for those that are initiated in a particular way. It's there. It's generally mysteries, the religious secrets, confided only to the initiated and not the ordinary mortals. It is a hidden secret or thing, but it's not obvious to the understanding. Praise the Lord. There is another definition down there. It says that a mystery, they are counsels. They are secret counsels by which the Lord judges the righteous. Yet they are hidden to some and only revealed to the children of God. You will say, how was I initiated? The Bible says that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. What happened? The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you hear Paul saying something like, I die daily, it means he awakened to the experience of beholding the new thing that he had become every day. Every day. Every day. When you arise, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? About yourself. About the testimony of who you are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that you are the circumcision of Christ. To show you that you are initiated. Circumcision is an initiation to something. So, these secrets are not for everybody. That is why when you get bold and you start to speak some of the things we speak, you'll be fought. Because some of these things, unless you are taken in, you will not understand them. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoiced in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. What is my confidence? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What is my confidence? If any man be in Christ, they are a new creation. That is my confidence. Anything in the flesh, mm-mm. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. You will actually increase in the knowledge of God. You will increase in the things of the Spirit when you behold the Word of God for what it has exactly said that you are. Examining your faults and examining your mistakes and examining where you made it, where you didn't make it. Oh, I'm a liar, I'm a what. That is what they call drawing back unto perdition. When you take any stand that is not the stand that Christ has given you, because he fully dwells in the inside of you, it is called to draw back unto perdition. You draw back. Because why? Because the just live by faith. So I take my stand. I stand in it. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the scripture where we were. Oh, I feel an anointing. The Bible says, even the mystery which was hidden from the ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. You know the mystery that Christ dwells in the inside of you. The Bible says Christ in us, the hope of glory. Why did Christ say Christ in us, the hope of glory? Because he knew that for as long as we are in this world, we shall be presented with tribulations. That for as long as we are in this world, we shall be presented by trials. For as long as we are in this world, things will come that will seem seemingly hopeless. Hopeless situations. He didn't just say, I am in you. No. He said, I am in you, the hope. The hope. The hope of glory. For any child of God, whatever situation you find yourself in, there is hope. There is hope. There is nothing too dead beyond repair. There is nothing that the power of God cannot fix. There is nothing that the presence of the one that dwells in the inside of you can't touch. The Bible says the one that is in the inside of you is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not the hope of failure. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. And you understand that this hope that we are holding on to, the Bible says it is hope that maketh not ashamed. I cannot be ashamed. Christ dwells in the inside of me. Hey, Christ is in the inside of me. Come on, somebody, declare those words. Christ is in me. I cannot be ashamed. This hope cannot make ashamed. It can't. The Bible calls it the lively hope. This is the hope that even in the place where everything else has ceased, the one in you says, I am the giver of all life. So don't throw in the towel yet. So you can't give up yet. It is not all over yet. Why? Christ in me, my God, Christ in me, the hope. You are hopeful, you just didn't know. You didn't know. And you didn't know what that hope in you can execute. You are hopeful. I can say that boldly to the people that are born again. Because Ephesians 2:12 gives us another experience. Let me show it to you. It says, Ephesians 2:12, it says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Do you know what it means to have no hope and without God in the world? What a situation. That is why when God calls you, he calls you and anoints you as a minister of reconciliation. Why? There shouldn't be anybody that names themselves by the name of God that is without hope. No. You become a minister of reconciliation. When you are out there, you're preaching and you're telling people, come and receive the Lord. Come and get born again. Come. You are reconciling people from hopelessness to hope. Hope is the joyous and confident expectation of eternal salvation. We know. I don't know where you have reached with what you're saying, Mama, this is hard. But God is saying, Christ in you. Remember Christ in you. Remember Christ in you. The Christ that is in you is the one that is highly exalted and glorified. Maybe let me remind you something. Let's go to Hebrews 1:3. I want to show you something. Oh God, help me. Hebrews 1:3. Listen to this. It says, who being the brightness of his glory, they are talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the person of God, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, the one that they are saying in us upholds all things. He upholds all things by the word of his power. They have told you this thing in your body is falling apart. No, Christ in me. He upholds all things by the word of his power. They have told you this business is going to close. No, Christ in me. He upholds all things by the word of his power. All things. All things. Oh, this marriage. He upholds all things. Oh, somebody underline it like a million times. He upholds all things by the word of his power. By the word of his power. You are not without help. You are not without help. Let me tell you one thing. You are not without the vindication of the Spirit. Christ in me, the hope of glory. You might say, oh, I've walked this journey, but I've not seen anything. I'm not seeing any fruit. I'm not seeing anywhere I go. It could be right in the carnal sense, but Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in us is not just taking a passive state in us, dormant state in us. 1 John 5:11. Listen. The Bible says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and that this life is in his Son. Verse 12. He that has the Son has what? What do you have? Do you have the Son? The Bible says that he that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Important that you're born again. Because by which life are you living? And how long do you want to be hopeless? Praise the Lord Jesus. It is a record. When it came to that, it had to be recorded. It is an account. So they might have said the things they're saying, oh, what? But the Bible says this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that has the Son. Do you have the Son? I only need to know that I have the Son. I have life. Regardless of what you say, regardless of what you write down as medical reports, regardless of what you speak, I only need to understand, do I have the Son? Remember, even in the Bible tells us in Romans 5:6 that we were in this world, but without strength. Without strength. For when we were yet without strength, can you imagine? Someone is hopeless, someone is without God, and they have no strength. My God. This is an experience of people that have not yet come to the life. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Message. Listen to this. Message. The Bible says Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. Hey. He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We wouldn't have known what to do. Christ in you, the answer to everything that is surrounding you right now. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor and say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Now, we understood that the reason as to why there is contentions, I could say, about this kind of truth, it's because some people don't know the word. And it is important, the Bible says, that your heart be established by grace. It is important. What do you do now that you were let in on in the mystery? The Bible says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. The heart has to be established with grace. Not with myths which have not profited them that are occupied therein. They are myths, but they don't profit. It sounds so deep, but it can't profit. It sounds so theologically perfect and accurate, but it can't profit. The Bible says, be not carried away. So we are having contentions because many are carried away by diverse, strange doctrines. Strange doctrines. And to them, can I give you a secret? Christ is still veiled. Christ is still a veiled experience, because the Bible says that even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. When it comes to the grace, God is looking at your heart. When it comes to the message that must establish you, God is looking at your heart. Tell your neighbor, my heart. The Bible says, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. What is the cure? The Bible says that when that heart shall turn, the veil shall be taken away. When you are turning, you are positioned in the mystery. When the heart shall turn, the veil is taken away. Christ is no more veiled to you. Verse 17. Listen, verse 17, what it says. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Listen to verse 18. It says, but we all with open face. The veil is taken away. It is an open face. Open face. We all with an open face, we behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. What happens to you? You are changed into the same image from what? Even by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even by what? Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we were given the definition of sin. And sin means hamartia. Hamartia means to miss the mark. But we notice that when God is establishing us in this truth that, hey, Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory, it ushers you into the glory that exalteth. You walk under the glory that exalteth. Why the glory that exalteth? In the Old Testament, there was a glory. In the message that Moses gave to the Israel, there was a glory, but only a glory that fades away. Praise the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that exalteth. Where your heart is positioned is where God desires that you start to see the ministration of the glory that exalts. There is a glory that exalts. Hamartia means to miss the mark. But when you look at the definition of the word exalteth, it means, it's there, to surpass in throwing, to throw over and beyond anything, to transcend. If they are throwing something, it goes beyond the mark. So you are born again. God says, yes, you are born again, come my child. But after that, there are bigger things. There are bigger things that surpass just you getting the mark. There are things that go over the mark. In this grace, in this ministry that excels. So when you start to understand that Christ in me, the hope of glory, 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 something is taking over. Something is taking over. Christ in me, the hope of glory, something in you is taking over, because you are introduced to the glory that exalteth. That is your glory. The Bible says that you are not ministers of the letter. You're not ministers of the law. You're not people they still tell, don't cheat. You. Don't lie. Don't do this. No. The Bible says this law was just a schoolmaster. It was supposed to bring you somewhere. It was supposed to lead you and bring you somewhere. The Bible says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. that we might be justified in faith. Now that you are in Christ, what is your message, child of God? Praise the Lord. Christ in me, the hope of glory. What hopeless situation have they told you that is existent right now? You turn your face and say, Christ in me, the hope. There is a hope that whatever it is can turn back to my favor. There is a hope. There is a hope. There is hope that whatever is happening to me can change even now. What was it that Christ did when he was caught up in the storms of life, in the stormy sea? What did he do? If he did that and he wasn't yet glorified, but now he's glorified and dwells in you, what more can he do? What more can he do to that situation? What more can he do to those things that you were crying about and saying, God, this is too much? He's hearing and he's saying, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm in you. I'm in you, not passive, active. I'm in you. Oh my God. I'm in you in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody speak these things to yourself. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I will not fail at anything. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is impossible that you can be caught in a place where you can't come out. Christ came out from the darkest of the graves. He was put in a tomb deep inside there, and a huge stone was rolled over him to say, it is finished. Done with that man. But he came out. He came out. Even if the situation looks dead and buried, Christ in me, in me, in me, in me. Christ in me. I look every day and I say, Christ in me, the hope of excellence. Christ in me, the hope of shining. How do I know that you will be better in the days to come? Christ in you. It is the glory that exalts. Always keep going beyond the mark. The world sets a mark, it goes beyond the mark. They look at you and they say, oh, she's well studied. She can only go up to here. The glory that exalteth throws you beyond every wildest mark that they can put for you. They say, ah, this one, we thought she was done. We thought it was all over with her. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the ministration that exalteth. And with us, the beauty with us, God does not take us step by step. That there are 15 steps and dimensions for, no. For as long as this word has sat in your spirit, any time is the time of conversion. Any time. You just needed to hear. Any time. The Bible says that lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. Any time. Don't postpone it and say, this is so big, it needs 5 years. No, anytime, even now. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope that it will restore, the hope that it will get better. I learned this in a certain way, that sometimes when we are caught in difficult situation and things are seemingly falling apart, sometimes it is God's way to put them together. Sometimes. The Bible says that God causes all things to work together. He causes them. But he does not cause them according to what your mind tells you. Or how, according to how you want it. God is God. He says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amplified on that. Listen to this. The Bible says, we are assured and know that God being a partner in their labor, eh? God is a partner in their labor. All things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. It is working for your good. Look at your neighbor and tell them, it is working for my good. To whichever extent it goes, it is working for your good. How do I know that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is hope that it can come to life. There is hope that my son will come back home. There is hope that my children will study. There is hope that my husband, there is hope. Those things that you're thinking about, there is hope. This is not the other humanly hope. No. Because for us, for as much as Simeon carried the child of God in his hands and Anna went and saw and embraced, for us we carry the man of God inside. The Bible says we are saved by hope. Greater is he that, my God, I just came to insist. Greater is he that is in me than the one that is in the world. That is the spirit of greatness. So I wake up in the morning and say, I carry the spirit of greatness. How do I know I am great? I am greater. The Bible says, because the greater one, because greater is he that is in me. In me, there is someone way greater. Way greater. That is why, for as much as God dwells in the inside of us, he invites us to communion. He says, let's commune. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come to communion. I want to show you a scripture. 1 John 1:3. 1 John 1:3. Listen, the Bible says that which we have seen and that which we have heard, we declare unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. Why? And truly our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. God calls us to the place of fellowship. Fellowship is that place that I have understood this mystery that was hidden in the ages past. Now it is here. Christ in a man. Christ in me. The Bible says, let's go to the Amplified New. It says, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship as partners with us. And indeed, listen, our fellowship, which is the distinguishing mark of a born-again believer, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why our Father likes saying, stay in the presence of God. Come to the presence of God. Sit in the presence of God. Why? Because your fellowship with God is your distinguishing mark that you are indeed a born again. It is the distinguishing mark. Your fellowship with God. That every time you start to learn to commune with him, you learn to sit down and he starts to pour these things in the inside of you, you surpass the place of just being persuaded. You know, there are people who still need to be persuaded that they are born again, even when they are born again. How many of you know that you're born again? How do you know that you're born again? Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come to the place of persuasion. Persuasion even to understand that now I have entered something. I have entered a certain level of initiation with God. When you come to the place of persuasion, the Spirit of God starts to teach. The anointing freely teaches. You not only now know, God, Father, I need an anointing to raise the dead. No. But you're in the depth and the communion of fellowship. You understand how God does what he does. Why he does what he does. In depth of communion. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that our fellowship is the distinguishing mark. It is your mark. It is your mark. So I will voice again the voice of my Father. Stay in the presence. This is where these things are churned in the inside of you. Stay in the summons. Don't just listen for the sake of coming to service to listen, but take notes. Listen and meditate. Go back home and listen again. Because for as much as the Bible is telling us that Christ in us, the hope of glory, it is a responsibility to us as well. This life has to be manifested. Not just thought about. Not just cheered. But a life that has to manifest. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you notice one thing. That when Christ tells me that in you I am, and I am the hope of glory, I have to align myself to the bliss of causing these things to become the real manifestation of my everyday life. The Bible tells us something very beautiful in the book of Ephesians 4:15. Let me just go there. Listen. Can we go to, yes, 4:15. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So listening is not enough. When the man of God is done and we are all gone, it's not enough. I have to create a place of speaking this truth in love. I create a place of speaking this truth in love. I lock my door and I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Oh, Shada Kabadi. I speak the truth in love. And as I do, the Bible says, I grow up into him in all things. In all things. It is important. In all things. Which is the head, even Christ. So I've checked my inward and I've come to the acceptance that, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I start to speak it. I start to voice it abroad. I speak it. And as I'm doing it, every other time, you might not see anything change in a minute or two, but something is brooding. Something is brooding because I'm speaking. I wake up in the morning. I say, oh God, I thank you for this charge upon my heart. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I know that every prophetic word that has been spoken in regard to my life will see its fulfillment. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He's the hope. They'll tell you, hey, these things have never been done. It will never be done in this dispensation. Who says Christ in you is the real authentication of what you need, that indeed it will be fulfilled? Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes. So I behold, and as I speak, I behold, and as I behold, I speak. That is why our Father taught us meditation. And these are some of the things that ought to be in our brains and in our minds as we arise in the morning. Christ in me. Oh, this is the mystery that was hidden. But it was not just hidden. Now it is revealed to me. Even me, who was thought to be a Gentile and far, cut off far from that life, it says that it was unto me. Because if we do not enter those realms, we will never see what they call maturity. Let me show you a scripture in Colossians 1:27. Let's go to the message. Listen, it says, God wanted everyone, are we together? God wanted everyone, not just the Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out. Regardless of their background, regardless of their religious standing, the mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. Therefore, you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. It's the substance of our message. That is the substance of our message. Listen to verse 28. Listen to verse 28. Verse 28 says, we preach Christ, warning people not to add to the message. We teach in the spirit of profound common sense so that we can bring each person to maturity. That is where your maturity is. To be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. That is what it means to be mature. Christ. Christ. My dear brethren, if there is a message you listen to that separates you from Christ, Christ. That is why every time our Father labors to teach us this way, because that is how we mature. And as we speak it, and as we declare it, and as we speak it, as we declare it, the Bible says we grow up unto Him in all things. So I have a responsibility. When all is said and done, I have to go and lock that door and say, what was said again? And meditate on it until I get it. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I go and I start to speak the truth of God in love. I speak it. And as I speak, something is happening. Let me ask you a question. Did you know when you were getting taller? You didn't know, but the right atmosphere was created for you. Right nutrients, right food, right drinking, right atmosphere, school you're taking. Did you ever know that you're getting taller? You didn't. You just saw yourself going and you're like, what happened? They show you photos of your tiny little hand and you're like, my God, was I ever like that? That is what is happening in this ministry. Every day I'm drinking, every day I'm listening, every day I'm pushing forth, every day I'm available, every day I appear in the presence of God, every day. You just don't know what you're doing in your life, but something is changing in you. Let me tell you one thing. To be a child of God is already too big. When you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior and say that I'm born again, that is already too big. Too big. But now, to deliberately make a decision that I will grow. I am growing. I am available for the Sunday service. I am available for the Thursday service. I am available for this, for everything that is happening. I am seated. Every time I'm feeding my spirit, I'm communing. I'm getting taller. One day in that house of yours, you will stand like this and you will notice your head has to go through the roof. Through the roof. Because of the things that God is doing in the inside of you. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the mystery that was given unto us. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let me close with this scripture. Can we please look at Romans 16:25? The Bible says, Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. Guys, one thing you need to know, that the revelation of the mystery put Paul in chains. These things that we are discussing. The Bible says, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept since the world began. It was just kept for you. Kept. Verse 26, but now it is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. If you do not understand anything that we have been saying, and if your heart wants to fight this, what provokes your obedience unto faith? Because this to us, the Bible says, it is made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. For the obedience of faith. Obedience of faith to all men. It has been made known. If I'm fighting, what is my obedience of faith? If I don't agree, to what faith? What is ministering the substance of faith to your heart? Because to us, this is the word of God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm very well aware that there's people that came, but even in your coming, there's many things that some people have been going through. My message to you is that Christ is in you. And if it is in you, whatever it is that must change will change. I'd like us to pray in this way. I'd like us to ask God for what exactly, I don't even know how to say it, for the depth of the understanding of this thing that we have shared here. And that he will open to us that place of responsibility for this that he has spoken to us. And for you that is going through something, if you're sick, you're healed. For you that is going something, I'd like us to array that mind to whatever it is that is the situation. And let's allow God to work for us. Come on, somebody, just close those eyes and let's pray. Father, we thank you. Mashande libra karepro sanda kalabayanda. Reposike telebreke rimbra shanda kalabra karabayanda. Come on, somebody, open your mouth and pray. Ripasande libre karabaka baranda labaraba. Hey, my God, that Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope that all is well. Renda libra karabayanda. It is well with you, my brother. It is well with you, my sister. Christ in you. Lepashanda galabraka rabayanda. He says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Repashande lebroko rabayanda. Come on, somebody. Lepasata bakata labaka rabayanda. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Repashanda katalabraka rabayanda. Lepakasikete lebreke rebosha. Rande lebreke rebakata labraka rabayanda. Lepakasatakate lebreke rebosha. Lendeke shikata labaka rabayanda. The days have come, thus says the Lord, that you are getting taller in this manifestation of this ministry. Lepakata laba. In the manifestation of these mysteries. Lendeke lebreke rebosha. Come on, somebody, open your mouth. Lepakashakata labaka rabayanda. The days of manifestation, they have come. Leposanda katala bakalebosha. For what it is that God can do through a man. Come on, somebody, pray, 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 pray. Leposanda katala bakalabayanda. Whatever is the situation, we speak peace. Lepakashata katelebrekerebosha. Landa katelebrekere pakatala bakalabaye. The life manifests. Life manifests, the grace manifests, hey.
Listen, this is what the Spirit of God says. Oh, shalakata la bagarabayan mash begata. There is many that have sat. You have sat under this ministry over and over. You have trusted every word that was spoken. You have felt my presence in this place. The Lord says, I hasten the days of this manifestation. This is what brings the beauty to the church. The church shall no more be a place of mockery. The Lord says, the zeal with which I want to manifest. Oh, lagabaga. The zeal with which I want to perform. It shall not allow you your one or two moments to prepare. He says, I prepare you myself. I quicken you, thus says the Spirit of God. He says, I've looked down upon your heart and I can see. Come on, somebody help me. Somebody help me. I see the Lord in this place, my God. Lord, in this The Lord says that by every word that He has spoken on this pulpit, you have authority to bring nations unto obedience. Fanero, there's no more time. The time is now. I prepared you. Because my coming is hasty. You, Fanera, I prepared you. For my coming is here. Ah, labor, my coming is here. The Lord says, I equip you like I've never equipped you before. Shall come unto me when you speak. This is the word of somebody, I don't know. If you're here and you'd like to give your life to Christ, please repeat these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive you today as my Lord and my Savior. With my heart, I believe that everything you did for me because you love me. With my mouth, I confess that you are Lord. I believe in my heart, O God, and therefore I'm born again. I am a child of God from today. I am a child of God from today. I'm born again from today. In Jesus' name.